I really appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and appreciate the presence of each and every one and the prayer that was offered. And it is God's intention that we would definitely pay attention to His Word, to really study out the Scriptures. Last night we had studied the fact that the religion of Christianity is an uncompromising religion. It's as uncompromising as the cross that Jesus was nailed to. And as I said last night in our study, in our lesson, that I don't want you to simply accept the words of the man that stands before you. You need to study the Scriptures yourself. The gospel of Christ is the power of God into salvation. It's not what some man says or what some organization proclaims. It's what the Scriptures proclaim. What God has revealed unto us in His Word. And this lesson this evening is dealing with a cross to bear. You've been handed out the piece of paper, and this lesson is a little bit different in that I would have us, along with the Bible, to open up to our songbooks, because our singing is to teach and to admonish one another. With that in mind, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 11. Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. It is written, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." God would have us be in fellowship with Him, and not the darkness of sin or the dark things of this world. And we are to be very careful with our time that we spend in this world. Our lives are precious. Jesus gave His life on the cross so that we might have eternal life. The preciousness of that is found in the cross and in the fact of God's Word given unto us to lead us unto heaven. And then, of course, this verse here, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And, of course, that, most of us know, goes along with what is written in Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 16 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It is written, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." God's Word needs to be dwelling in us richly. And when we are singing songs, not only are we offering up praise unto our Father in heaven, but we're teaching and admonishing one another. So this lesson is combining those two, the Scriptures and the songs. One of our members recently was reading from the Scriptures concerning the crucifixion of Jesus. And I've read over these verses numerous times. But this particular time I was really struck by what is written concerning Simon, and that he was compelled to bear the cross of Jesus. With that in mind, I want you to turn to Matthew's account. And turn to Matthew chapter 27. And we want to begin reading at verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 24. It is written, "When Pilate saw that it could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land into the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And you can go on from there. Jesus was crucified for our sins. And in this lesson, and when hearing this member of the congregation read this, I was really struck by that which is written concerning Simon, the fact that he carried the cross of Jesus. And how sad it is that there are so many today, they don't understand the crucifixion of Jesus. They don't understand the preaching of the cross. You know, again there in verse 32, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." You know, the only things that we know about this individual is that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. We don't know much even about them. You can find that in the Gospel of Mark. It's of interest to note that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there were Cyrenians present. All we know about this man is that he was compelled, if you will, forced to carry the cross. After he read that, there in services, it also reminded me of something that my wife had received in the email concerning carrying a cross. So, what I've done for our lesson here this evening is to put on transparencies that which Sharon had received in her email, along with some scriptures. You have before you a scripture, and of course following that is a song. Each of these transparencies has that scripture on it. And you'll see what these transparencies are revealing in a sense unto us. And it's also a warning to us as Christians, because we as Christians are to carry a cross. And with that is this: when we look at these overheads, I want you to look closely at the picture that is being portrayed. And also with me to consider very carefully the scripture that is there. And there's obviously many scriptures that could go along with these transparencies. But each of these transparencies, in essence, is going to be dealing with this individual carrying a cross. And so, with the scripture, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It is written, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." God does not force anyone to carry a cross. Simon, he was compelled to carry the cross. Jesus is stating a simple but profound truth concerning discipleship. It is not going to be easy. And that we must be willing to surrender ourselves unto the will of the Father. To surrender our will as Jesus did when He went to the cross. As He exemplified in the garden before He faced the cross. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. I want you to drop down beginning at verse 36. Matthew chapter 26. Beginning at verse 36, it is written, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Jesus is inviting us, encouraging us to take up the cross and follow Him. And to understand that when you do this, it is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. So worth it to take up the cross. What Jesus asks of us, He already has done Himself. I want you then to turn to song number 290. Of what we are teaching and admonishing one another in the words of this song. And each of these songs in this book also has a scripture below the title. And here, in the cross of Christ I glory, the scripture is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord. The song teaches, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathered around its head sublime. When the woes of life overtake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance streaming adds new luster to the day. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure. Joys that through all time abide." I wasn't exactly sure of that fourth stanza, the first word, bane. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. That word bane, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is defined as fatal injury or ruin. A cause of death, destruction, or ruin. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. It's not going to be easy being a Christian. But being a Christian, you are, quote unquote, sanctified, set apart for God's purpose. So this illustrates an individual who is bearing his cross. And you'll note that there are others bearing their cross as well. But there's not many. There's not many that are willing to do that in this world in which we live. And then you find this. Lord, it's too heavy. Please cut it down a little. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, at verse 3. It is written, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not hard to bear for the one who loves God." When I saw this on the computer, when Sharon got this email, I was reminded of that which Paul had prayed, that he revealed unto the brethren in the second letter unto them, to the Corinthians. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read first verses 7 through 8, and then we're going to read verses 9 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, it is written, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He was experiencing great physical pain in a sense, a thorn in the flesh, so much so that he prayed three times to have this removed. Verse 9 and 10, it is written, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." This man suffered greatly. He is a great example for us. He too carried the cross, and he found that it was heavy. But he was willing to accept the will of the Father, knowing that, when compared with heaven, these sufferings are really nothing. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Drop down, begin reading at verse 16. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. It is written, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Sometimes as a Christian, we have to suffer. Now, I was never in the military. I tried to join the military and I couldn't do it because I had a scar in my left eye and I was considered at that time to be legally blind. But I've talked to those who have been in the military and the sacrifices that they made, the hardships that they went through, but they believed in the cause that they were fighting for and they were willing to do that. The Christian, he and she is a soldier of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls for committed discipleship to carry a cross, however heavy it may be. We sing a song, number 275. And at the question, "Am I a soldier of the cross?" the scripture reference below is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "Therefore endure hardness," or hardship, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And this song teaches us, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this dark world, a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. That's what we teach. That ought to be our commitment. I will bear the toil. I will endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Because when we fight as a soldier of Christ, we're not alone. We have each other. And even if we didn't have each other, Christ is there. He invites us to be yoked together with Him, to labor in His kingdom. And this is portraying an individual that's asking God, please, please God, cut this down a little. It's too heavy for me to bear. Well, then you see this. He's bending over this cross. Did you look carefully at the last overhead that I had up there? Did you know what was in that man's hand? There was a saw in his hand. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14 at verse 12. Now obviously you'll note on the paper in front of you that a lot of these scriptures are going to come from this book, so you might want to keep a finger there or mark it. But in Proverbs chapter 14 at verse 12, it is written, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." This man had a saw in his hand, and he had asked God to please cut down this cross. It's too heavy for me. He was already determined to cut his cross so as to lighten the load. And he is not alone. There are many today who, claiming Christ as Lord, have taken, quote-unquote, a saw to the Word of God. And they have cut off those scriptures which seem so hard to bear. They can't accept some of the truths that Jesus has taught. For an example, marriage, divorce, remarriage. It's an issue that is ravaging our society. And there are those Christians who, after reading these scriptures, they cannot accept the teachings of Jesus. And they want to cut them off so as to be able to bear the cross of Jesus so that it's lighter for them. I just want to note briefly Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus lays down the law of marriage and divorce and remarriage. Matthew chapter 19, I'm just going to drop down to verse 9 and following. It is written, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." They understood the severity of what Jesus was teaching. And Jesus' answer is this. "But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." There are many today that are not able to receive what Jesus taught. They want their cross cut down. And so they'll take the proverbial saw to the Word of God and cut out those scriptures that seem so hard to accept, to bear. Back in Proverbs chapter 10, I want you to drop down verse 16 and following. Proverbs chapter 10, beginning at verse 16, it is written, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." The labor of the righteous We have to labor as Christians. And to be a Christian and to truly take up the cross of Jesus means I am going to accept what God proclaims. I am going to submit my will to His will, however heavy it may be. And to have our focus on heaven. And to know that ultimately it's going to be worth it. Turn to song number 523. The song is entitled, Take Up Your Cross. And the scripture references one that we had already noted. If any man will come after me, take up his cross and follow me. And the song teaches, take up your cross, the Savior said, if you would my disciple be. Take up your cross with willing heart and humbly follow after me. Take up your cross, nor heed the shame, and let your foolish pride be still. Your Lord refused not even to die upon a cross on Calvary's hill. Take up your cross then in His strength and calmly every danger brave. It will guide you to a better home and lead you to victory over the grave. Take up your cross and follow Christ, nor think till death to lay it down. For only he who bears the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. And that's true. So, going then to the next overhead, we see this. He cut down his cross, and he's merrily going on his way. And you'll note in the background, the ones that aren't in focus, they're still carrying their cross. They're still bearing that cross. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 21, it is written, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Folly indeed is joy to many who would seek an easier way. A way that ultimately leads not to God, but away from God. Though the ways seem right. He's whistling. It's a whole lot easier for him to carry. You know, the others, the cross is dragging along the ground. It's obviously hard to carry that cross. I cannot imagine what it must have been like for Jesus and Simon to carry this wooden cross. And yet, Jesus is inviting us to carry the cross and to walk uprightly with understanding. Understanding the commitment that is involved in being a Christian. When I was first taught the gospel, I stopped the studies after that. Within an hour, this individual had shown me exactly what I needed to do to obey the gospel, and I wasn't willing to be that committed. I was too involved in drinking, too involved in smoking marijuana, too involved in hunting and fishing. And just let me say this, for those who hunt and fish, I love to hunt and fish. I am speaking about doing it so much so that my wife, in essence, was a widow when I was hunting, when I was fishing, because that was the focus of my life and being a cook at a restaurant. I understood within an hour that if I wanted to follow Jesus, I needed to make a lot of sacrifices in my life. And a lot of those, it was very, very difficult for me to do. And it wasn't until that I really relied upon the strength of Jesus and His Word that I was able to do that. For example, smoking marijuana. I started when I was in ninth grade. I smoked up until I obeyed the gospel, and I was around 30 years old when I obeyed the gospel. The first year after having obeyed the gospel, there were times when I broke down and got stoned, and afterwards felt really guilty about it. And that first year, it was very difficult for me to stop. And then I finally realized that if I'm really going to stop, if I am going to stop deceiving myself in this, then I need Jesus to help me. Because I can't do this myself. And I finally threw it all away. Now, after that, I had started preaching in Santa Barbara. And I had an international scout. And that scout had been parked to my parents for over 5 years. And I decided one day to go up there and get my scout. And thankfully, I took a brother in Christ with me. And I got up there, and in the ashtray is a joint. I cannot believe how tempted I was to smoke that joint. And I thank God that my brother was with me. And I threw it away. But the temptation was so strong. It scared me how strong that was. But I was able to overcome. Because my brother, in a sense, helped me. Though he really didn't know how much he helped me. The next time and the last time that I was tempted, I was at home by myself, going through my hunting gear, and I had a little container that held matches, waterproof. And I opened it up, and there was a couple buds in there. I was by myself at that house. And my first thought was, make myself a pipe. And my second thought was, who am I kidding? Oh yeah, I could hide it from my wife, from my kids, from my brethren. But I can't hide it from God. And I can't hide it from myself. And I put it in the toilet and flushed it down. That was the last time that I was really tempted to smoke. It's not easy being a Christian. And folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Wisdom comes from understanding God's Word and living God's Word and gaining that knowledge to be able to make a right choice. How important it is for our young to be instructed in God's Word so that they can make the right choices when they're adults. My children, I told them about what I had done as a kid, as an adult, and what a waste it was, smoking and drinking. For what? And ultimately when it was done, the high was over, I was back where I was before, except worse. That's just one small area for me personally. Each of us has sacrifices to make. This individual portrayed in here, he took upon himself the cross of Jesus, and it was heavy. And he determined, I'm going to cut this down a little because it's too heavy. It cannot become too heavy to carry a cross for Jesus. When you think about what's beyond this life, it will never be that heavy, so much so that you won't be able to carry it. God is there to help us. Proverbs chapter 16, beginning at verse 2, it is written, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's what God would have us to do, to be committed unto Him. I want you to turn to song number 336. 336. The only way. This is a scripture we used last night in our study about how Christianity is uncompromising. Jesus proclaims in John chapter 14 at verse 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way. Would you be freed from your burden of sin? Hear the sweet whisper of pardon within. Would you this moment a new life begin? This is the only way. Would you have light that no clouds can obscure? Would you have joys that are fadeless and pure? Would you have help that is mighty and sure? This is the only way. Would you find rest in a blessed retreat, rest undisturbed by the tempest that beat? Would you be ready the judgment to meet? This is the only way. Come to the cross of the Son of God. Trust in the power of His saving blood. Walk in the path where His feet once trod. This is the only way. To commit thy works unto the Lord. Thy thoughts shall be established. Thy heart, thy mind, thy life, they will be established. And there was this. Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It is written, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is the knowledge of God's Word and His will. I was able to overcome the temptation because of my knowledge that I had gained in the Scriptures. It wasn't easy. It's not easy overcoming the things of this world. Again, with the saw in his hand, this man would lighten the load that had already been lightened before. And an individual once wrote, quote, "How easy it becomes when one begins to depart, to continue on a path that seems to bring joy to one's heart. How easy it is. It is far easier to turn out of the narrow way and to follow the broad way to destruction. It's far easier to do that. It's far easier to not stand up for the truth when all around you are being pressured to do that very thing. Don't stand up. Be like us. It's far easier to go along with the crowd." In 11th grade, I had been arrested twice. And I was arrested because, number one, my own choices. One of those choices, to hang around people I shouldn't have been hanging around with. I knew that what I was doing was wrong. And I paid the price. I only spent 4 days in juvenile hall. 4 days which seemed like an absolutely eternity. Telling Adrian about this earlier. And coming here also, and to Marie and Jude, and just thinking how much I hated my dad for leaving me in juvenile hall. And I realize now that was the best thing that he ever did. I put myself in juvenile hall, and yet I tried to blame my dad for leaving me there. He left me there because he loved me. And I like what this individual wrote, how easy it becomes when one begins to depart to continue on a path that seems to bring joy to one's heart. Oh, it was fun running away from home, spending nights up on a mountain in my town that I lived in, spending nights out in the cold when I could have been in my parents' house, stealing food from a school that I used to attend. Part of my restitution, I had to help pay for an alarm system for the school. I learned the hard way. What a blessing it is, though, when an individual makes the determination, I'm going to follow Christ. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard bearing this cross, but it's going to be worth it. And I know that He will help me overcome anything I face in this world. Anything. And with that in mind, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Beginning at verse 31. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. It is written, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I am persuaded. That's what Paul wrote. Are you? That persuasion comes from faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith, through Christ, can overcome anything that we face in this life. This song, number 335, Live for Jesus, This is a song that I would have each and every one of us now to sing. And Rick is going to lead us in these songs, the songs that I have on the paper that are marked that we're going to sing, and thus teaching and admonishing one another. The scripture reference, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul was crucified with Christ. And he was living by the faith of the Son of God who loved him. We need to have that faith also. Okay, Rick.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be.
To give of us our all. And it takes our all in order to carry the cross of Jesus, to be truly crucified with him. The next overhead then is this: Lord, thank you so much. This individual had taken it upon himself to cut down this cross that he had himself taken up. But he's thanking God for him lightening it. It wasn't God that lightened it. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 10, it is written, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they had no love for the truth, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." How easy it is to deceive one's self when there is no true love for the truth, when one's heart is set on self. How easy it becomes to cut off more and more of the truth that we would deem too hard to carry. The truth is not hard. The commandments of God are not grievous. But so many have deceived themselves into believing, "I can't do this. I, self." No, it's God. We need the strength that comes from God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And there we read of the armor of God. It begins in verse 10. You can read all the way through to verse 18. I just want you to note verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, it is written, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It doesn't say to be strong in our own strength, our own might. To be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. That strength is found in God's Word, the truth, of which so many, sadly, don't have a love for it. Not a true love. Deceiving themselves. Turn to Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. It is written, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth or hold back the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And it goes on from there. Changed the truth of God into a lie. He's deceived himself in what he has done to this cross that he had taken up. I'm going to cut this down. What is extremely sad to me is to see a brother or sister in Christ who at one time with joy had taken up the cross, and then to see them depart, to cut off God's Word because it had seemed too heavy for them, to turn away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to do in essence what this next song is, the title, the question. Turn to song number 346. And it is entitled, "Shall I Crucify My Savior?" Now, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, the scripture reference, they have, "If they shall fall away," and it goes on, "they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." Have you ever studied a medical point of view of crucifixion? It's one of the worst deaths that a human being can suffer, and yet Jesus did that for us. And this is talking about those who, after having obeyed the gospel, having their sins cleansed by the blood that He shed on the cross, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, anew, and put Him to an open shame because they're not willing to follow Jesus, to take up the cross and truly follow Him like this, but deceive themselves. Lord, thank You. The next overhead is this. I think it's interesting in this that the individual we've been focused on is clearly in focus, and the others, they're not clearly in focus. You can't see them that well. Yet every other one is carrying their cross. In a sense, that's like us. The world doesn't really notice us that much, except when they're trying to ridicule us or whatever. But God sees us clearly. Yeah, we may not make a big impression in this world like presidents, kings, movie stars, actors, whatever it may be. But God sees us clearly. And a lot of Christians don't understand the influence and how powerful influence is. Because influence reaches everyone you come into contact with. And I think it's interesting, He's having an influence. He's leading, if you will, all these others. But the others, they are doggedly determined to follow, if you will, the way of the Lord. They're on the same path, in a sense, living in this world. They're carrying a cross that He's not really, really willing to carry. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, it is written, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, or the world by its own wisdom, knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The preaching of the cross is to many utter foolishness." Talked about my brother last night, my family in essence. It's utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. It's also utter foolishness to believe that the cross is something to be taken lightly, or the preaching of it. And some of my brethren, they don't understand the seriousness of this. It scares me to come up and stand before you and to proclaim these truths, because I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I've preached. I am afraid when I get up and stand before you. I am nervous when I stand before you because of this and the seriousness of this. And some of my brethren don't understand that. They don't understand how important it is, not just to preach the word, more importantly, to live it and to be an example unto others because of the influence that we have upon others. You know, there's a lot of young people that are here. I want you to consider, as well as us adults, that which was written to a young man, a Christian. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. It is written, "Let no man despise thy youth or look down upon thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers," or to the believers, "in word, in conversation," that means a manner of life, "in charity," or love, "in spirit," or an attitude, "in faith," in purity. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And of course, specifically to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Those that hear you, that see you. It is a tremendous responsibility that a Christian has in this world to carry the cross of Jesus in such a manner that it glorifies our Lord and Savior, and that it doesn't bow down to the wisdom, the whims of society or of others, our friends, our family, our loved ones. When you make a decision to follow Christ, that is the greatest decision that you'll ever make in this life, and is the one that is most blessed. And in order to make that decision, you must be willing to give up self to follow Him, and to take upon you the responsibility of bearing that cross and fulfilling to the best of your ability a Christian life. A Christian life. This song, number 431. I only want to read the first stanza of this song, though the other stanzas of it teach so much, but just this. And the song is entitled, "None of Self and All of Thee." In the scripture reference, Mark 8:34, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." psalm teaches. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. And that's how some people believe, in essence. It's me, myself, and I, instead of Jesus and following Him. Yeah, the Christian, by and large, is not going to be great in this world. Out of focus, in a sense. But in the eyes of God, they are, quote-unquote, great. Set apart for His service. Then we note this. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. It is written, His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. It is sin that binds us and can lead us to great folly. An individual wrote, quote, For without the light of God's instructions, without trusting faith in His will, our own path will lead us on into darkness and to the brink that leads to hell. He's come to a huge chasm. He sees no way across. When one is engaged in sin, there is no way across the gulf of death. And I mean that in this sense. If you leave this world in sin, you will perish in eternity in hell. The only way to our Father in heaven is through Jesus. And the only way to truly follow Jesus is to take up the cross and follow Him. Follow His word and His will. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 22 at verse 5 beginning, it is written, Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a blessing it is for you young kids here to have parents that are Christians. In the school that I am a custodian and an assistant cook at, there are many children whose parents are not Christians. 3 to 5 year old kids. This program is in essence affiliated with Head Start. Head Start. To give them a head start in life. To teach them the basics like brushing their teeth, washing their hands, how to eat, how to interact with other children. But what is lacking is the spiritual teaching. And because it's a federally funded program, there's a separation of church and state. And I was instructed, as well as all the teachers, that you cannot, of yourself, teach religion. But if a child asks you a religious question, you can answer that child. I thought it interesting. Sometimes you can hear a child ask something of a religious nature. You know, like about Christmas and stuff. But I think about these children. And there's not that many. 60 of them. And you think about worldwide how many children there are that have no religious teaching. They do not know Jesus. And at the end of their life, unless they come to a knowledge of the truth, they're going to face something that they're going to wish they had known about long before. What a blessing it is to be brought up in the faith. This next song that we're all going to sing, it asks the question, do you know my Jesus? 470. And Rick is going to lead us in this song. In the scripture reference, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 9, know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. He came into this world that we might have eternal life, to show us how to get across this chasm, if you will, which I like to think about as death. To be able to cross over into eternal life. So song number 470. Rick, if you would, to lead us in this song.
As you are a heart that's weary, tending a load of care. Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know?
Through a study of God's Word, to really know Him, to truly know Him. And then there was this. Every other person that had carried their cross, they're all in focus now, and they're able to cross over. They had not cut short the cross that they had taken upon themselves. In Proverbs chapter 11, at verse 8, Proverbs chapter 11 at verse 8. It is written, "The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead." What a wonderful promise that we have of God. That whatever we encounter in this life, even death, that through Jesus we can overcome. That through His strength, the darkest chasm can be crossed. Even while bearing His cross. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 13 at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 at verse 20, it is written, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I spoke earlier about the people I was running around with as a kid. Before that, I had a wonderful friend. I destroyed that friendship because of hanging around people that he didn't want to hang around with. He had more wisdom than I did. I am so very blessed that I came to a knowledge of the Scriptures, the truth, the gospel. Came to know, in a sense, Jesus. And I'm still learning what a blessing it is to have brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a blessing the world will never know. I mean, to be here with you this evening, it is so uplifting to me. You know, I said before, yeah, it's scary to stand up here, but it's also it is so awesome to have brothers and sisters in Christ that care about me, that want to help me get to heaven, and in turn to help them get to heaven, to be able to inherit eternal life. And this song that we're going to sing, The Way of the Cross Leads Home, each of us can help each other to bear that cross. And truly, the way of the cross does lead home. Again, in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, come, take up the cross and follow me. Where did Jesus go? Heaven. Follow me. Take up that cross. This is another song that we're going to sing. Go ahead, Rick.
I must go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Thank you, Rick. And indeed it does. It leads home. Then this. He now realizes the folly of the mistakes that he had made in his life. This man portrayed, but it's too late. And there are many who leave this world who at the end realize the mistakes that they made in this life, and failing to take up the cross, and failing to believe and to know Jesus. And then it's too late. I know that Joe has performed funerals of individuals for individuals who are not Christians. And I have too. In the interview that I had to be a custodian and an assistant cook at the school, they asked me, what is the most stressful thing that you've ever encountered in your life? They knew I was a preacher. And I couldn't help but think of that. Not because I'd been a custodian in California, not because I had cooked for years at a restaurant. The most stressful thing? To do a funeral for an individual who is not a Christian. And to see those, the loved ones left, who had no hope for that one that had passed away. That is really hard. I know Joe's experienced that. Unless you have, it's hard to put into words that. But to think about those who have spent their life not knowing Jesus, or refusing to take up the cross, or even after having taken it up, to lay it down. They've fallen away. They knew the way. They failed in their commitment. Anyways, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 28, it is written, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." In that great day that awaits all of us, there are going to be many who will come up short of heaven because they have rejected the truth of we're trying to cut off the load of the cross that they were to bear. In Proverbs chapter 15, drop down beginning at verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15, beginning at verse 8, it is written, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." And it goes on from there. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness, who truly follows Jesus. Because only through Jesus are we able to overcome the things of this life, the chasms that we face, and ultimately death, which all of us, unless Jesus comes, are going to face one day. How are you going to face death? Is it going to be with joy, hope, or terror? There are those, that's how they face death. They're terrified. Absolutely terrified. And it is a sad thing to witness those that have been left behind and to know that they have no hope. None. And I'm just not saying that to be hard-hearted. It is because of what the Scriptures teach. And these are some of those Scriptures that are very hard to accept. And that others want to, quote-unquote, cut off, if you will. I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 8, it is written, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." I had the opportunity of studying with an individual in Santa Barbara, and this individual, after a short time, obeyed the gospel of Christ. The very next study I had with him, he had been reading these passages. His grandmother had passed away a number of years before, and he had come to the conclusion that his grandmother had not obeyed the gospel. And because of these passages here, he decided he didn't want to be a Christian. He had come to the conclusion that, in essence, his grandmother had no hope. And I tried to reason with him. "I didn't know your grandmother. She's already passed away. Yes, indeed, her eternity is sealed and it cannot be altered. God is a righteous judge, but you're here and I'm here. I can't change these scriptures. I can't alter them to please you or myself. It would be so much easier to say, not just your grandmother, but my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandparents, and on down the line, that they're all saved. I don't know that. I don't know if any of them have ever obeyed the gospel. And I'm persuaded that my grandfather didn't obey the gospel, nor my grandmother, whom I loved. I can't alter that. But I can read this, and I can learn from this and be warned from this, that God has provided for me an avenue a way of escape from eternal damnation, and that is through Jesus, through His cross. Now this song that we sing, number 348, is taken from a scripture that is found in Acts chapter 26, where Paul is making the defense before King Agrippa. And Agrippa, after hearing Paul's defense, proclaims, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. That's how many are. Almost persuaded. And when it comes to this point, it's far too late to become persuaded. It is here in this life, now, to become persuaded to be a Christian, to follow Him throughout your life. This song teaches us, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul today, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear, a wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Almost. Almost, but lost. That's how many are going to leave this world. And that's sad. Especially when you think about loved ones. This individual is bowed down with the knowledge that he failed. He had the opportunity. He failed. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 12, it is written, "If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" I like to have the King James Version that. Behold. You know, they'll say, behold, we didn't know this. God knows. He knows your heart. He knows what you've heard and what you've rejected. God's desire is that God desires that He would have us to be ready for that great day of judgment. And in that day, there will be no excuse. All who would humbly know Jesus must carry a cross. They must. And they must be willing to do this. And understanding that you're not alone when you carry this. He is there to help you. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28 at verse 9. It is written, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." And there's many that turn away their ears from the law of Christ. They don't want to hear this law. And yet it is this law by which we can be saved. The gospel of Christ. Verse 26, it is written, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." It is the wise that understand that they need a Savior. They can't make it alone. Indeed, no man or woman can make it alone unto heaven. You need Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The song that we're about to sing, number 301, "Soul, a Savior thou art needing." We all need Jesus. The scripture reference, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6 speaks of being crucified with Jesus, being baptized into His death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. "Soul, a Savior thou art needing." Rick, please.
Soul, a Savior thou art needing. Soul, a Savior waits for thee. Hear His words of tender pleading. Hear His gracious come to me.
He is calling for all souls to come and take up the cross and follow Him. And as I said in the beginning of this lesson and throughout, it's not easy, but it is so worth it. Proverbs chapter 12 at verse 28. Proverbs chapter 12 at verse 28, it is written, "And the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." There is no death. It is easy to take up the cross of Jesus. It is easy to obey the gospel of Christ. And yet for many, that is utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. It is easy to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We have the witnesses that testify of that throughout the New Testament. Jesus indeed was crucified, put to death, buried, and arose again on the third day. He died that you might have eternal life. That's why He came into this world. It's not so easy perhaps to repent, to turn away from the things of this world. I've experienced that in my own life. But it can be done. When one is willing to submit to the will of God, it can be done. And it is a blessing when one turns away from that broad way that leads to destruction and begins to follow the narrow way that leads into eternal life. It is easy with the mouth to confess, "I believe in Jesus." It's not so easy, perhaps, to confess that with your life. And yet, that's what God would have us to do. And it is so easy to be baptized, to be buried into the death of Jesus, to be crucified with Him, raised to walk in newness of life, carrying a cross. In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, it is written, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, did that very thing. And thus he could write in Galatians chapter 2 at verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Jesus loves you and gave Himself for you and me and for every other soul in this world. But only the few are going to find that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Prayerfully, each and every one of us that is gathered here this evening, we will be in that narrow way until the day that we die. And if you are here and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, that we would encourage you to do so. Or, if you do not understand what the Scriptures teach, then come to us. We'll show you as we were shown what the Scriptures teach. Not what others may say or feel or think. This is the living Word of God. These are the words of eternal life. And God invites you to take up the cross and to follow Him. To be a part, if you will, of the few that take up that cross. That's this lesson this evening. The Song of Invitation, number 156. It's a song that we are going to sing to encourage you to render obedience to the gospel. If you know what you need to do and you've not been baptized, you can take care of that right now and be a child of His this evening. And if you have been baptized, but you have fallen out of the narrow way, or perhaps you tried to shorten that cross like the individual did in the overheads, then you need to repent. It's not easy. But that's what God would have you to do. He loves you so much that He would have you to do that and to help you to bear the full cross of Jesus. All of that cross. So, have you been crucified with Him? If not, we would have you to come forward, or if we can help you in any way, we want you to come forward right now as we all stand and sing this invitation song.
Tell me the story of
appreciate those words, Brother Dennis. Appreciate them very much. Did a good job. You can see as Christians, we have to fight the good fight. We don't stop partway. We cross that finish line. And that's what we need to focus on. Appreciate our visitors. We're glad you're with us tonight. If you're in the area, hopefully you can be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Let's remember those that are out of town that I mentioned. And that's all that I have. We'll close with a prayer at this time with Brother Shane. We bow to you.
Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we've had here to gather in thy name, Lord. Thank you for the lesson that was brought by Brother Ross from your word. May we take it, may we apply it to our lives, may we study it to prove it to be so, Lord. Lord, we ask that you with each one of us that are Christians, that we take up that cross, Lord, that we find the narrow path, that we stay on the narrow path, Lord, that we may enter by the narrow gate to be with thee. Lord, we ask that if we examine ourselves, we find that we have turned from the narrow path, Lord, that we are not walking with thee, that we will make it right, Lord, that something will be done to prick our hearts. Lord, we ask you to be with those of our number that are out of duty, Lord, that something be done to bring them back into that fold. Without thee, Lord, there is no hope. Lord, we ask you to be with those that are physically ill, that return them to health, that you be with the doctors administering to them. Lord, we ask you to be with those that are traveling, that you watch over them, that you get them to their destination safely, if it is thy will, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Brother Ross, that he traveled here to proclaim thy word. We thank you for the gospel preachers that do that, that proclaim thy word, Lord, that we as Christians can take it to heart, that we can study it, that we can use it in our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, that was so willing to die for each and every one of us. May we never take that lightly or for granted, Lord, that we truly try to understand the sacrifice that was given for each and every one of us, that we may live with thee, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with each one of us as we depart this building, that you guide and direct our thoughts and everything that we do, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
don't feel